He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday. We made it. This is the July 24th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And Bill, obviously, is taking a day off from the airwaves today. We'll give him a chance to get on jump on that newsletter. And looks like it's going to be another hot day out there in the low country. Looks like probably across the nation it's been pretty hot, especially down here in the south. Hope everyone's well out there. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm also joined by our advisor and portfolio bond manager, Paul Carlson. Good morning, Paul.
Hello. Good morning.
Yep. How's your week going?
Very good. Yeah, we're having another great week in the bonds and helping a lot of great clients out, and just excited to keep plugging along.
Yeah. Certainly been busy. Obviously, these types of markets and uncertainty have kind of drive that a bit. You had a birthday this week as well, Paul?
I did.
All right. And Nadia as well, right? Our COO.
That's right.
You guys have the same day, right?
Two of us this week. Yes, that's
right. Well, we want to wish you a happy birthday from Best Stocks Now. So
Thank you.
Had a good one. And I know much different celebrating birthdays under the cloud of the pandemic, but I did one as well early in March. So
that's right.
Yep, and both my boys had birthdays late March and early June. So not any very large gatherings, to put it that way.
Right.
I guess,
where are we at with the markets this morning, Barry?
Yeah, market-wise, looks like, we've got, futures a little soft. NASDAQ, coming off of yesterday. We've got NASDAQ's a bit down about, looks like, about 95.95% today.
Right.
Futures, Dow, down about 43 basis points, looks like 114 points. S&P, down about 30 basis points as well. So still some softness coming through from yesterday. I think most of that just kind of has to do, with the uncertainty and kind of, what I've been referring to as kind of the limbo in general. I was putting some just kind of from introduction standpoint today, obviously Christina and I had got diagnosed with the COVID. In terms of the symptoms, right, as me and you and I talked about, we're obviously blessed in terms of, the only thing we really had in terms of symptoms to even kind of, for us to even go get tested was, no smell or taste. So,
right.
When you have such a, I think kind of, this whole pandemic and when you kind of tie it into kind of the different, how the markets have reacted over that time frame is, there's so many different, outcomes from people who actually have the virus, whether you're asymptomatic, whether, you're virtually asymptomatic on our part or you end up having the ultimate price, right? So spectrum, anytime you have a spectrum that's so large, whether it's the markets, right, whether it's life, political outcomes, responses by different municipalities, you're going to have,
uncertainty and volatility.
Yeah, and there's going to be no real right answer, right, when you've got, that many, varying outcomes. So, I think just, our own personal kind of, touch of it, right, is kind of opened my eyes in terms of just your different trying to stay away from so long, but then also you've got these different outcomes and just kind of divergence across ages and outcomes. So
right.
I think yesterday was kind of a reflection of that, and it's kind of dovetailed today into with the closing of the Or, you know, Chinese asking us to close the consulate office.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, tit for tat with Houston, you know.
Right. And so, you know, I think with the backdrop of obviously, you know, COVID plus with some, you know, some political, you know, tensions or, you know, tensions across nations, that's, you know, that's kind of where we're at today. So let's get a quick rundown of, you know, kind of, you know, where we're at.
Let's do that.
You know, overnight, obviously, you know, China, you know, they, you know, their markets were down, what, you know, 2%.
4%. About,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Well, yeah, 2% midday, and then, yeah, it excelled towards the end of the day, right? For, it was, you know, finished down, I think, a little over 4%.
Right.
Pulling up notes here. Let's see.
The big, move down pre-market is Intel. We'll talk about that later, but
yeah,
I think
that,
it's down 14% the last I checked.
Yeah, and that's, you know, quite a, you know, it's kind of benefiting, you know, a big name that we own here and you know, written about a few handful of times on Seeking Alpha, AMD. So, we'll definitely kind of get, in that, and get into that one here in a little while. In terms of kind of what happened, you know, yesterday, obviously, NASDAQ, you know, kind of took the brunt of the hit yesterday. It was down about 2.3%. Dow was down about 1.3, and S&P closed down just under that 1.2. So, you know, yesterday was certainly one of the days where you kind of see the dichotomy where, you know, the kind of your higher flyers right pulled back. You know, you had some we had some you know, big names and names that were, you know,
the mega caps
as well.
Yeah. And they can't go up every day.
Right. Yeah. So there, exactly. So Apple's down, you know, 4.5%, Microsoft, you know, 4.3. And frankly, that's after, you know, I thought they had some, you know, some good, you know, a decent, you know, decent quarter in terms of the earnings call. So, I mean, they, you know, kind of overperformed on a number of metrics. You know, I guess the market still, you know, overall the market still pulled back. So that's what probably to me has kind of affected Microsoft. Amazon down 3.6, Google, Alphabet, whatever you want to call that one, off by 3, and then Facebook's down 3 as well. You know, lastly, you know, Tesla, after, you know, what, I guess if you include the what they did in the aftermarket, and they're down 5% yesterday, you know, they probably were up overall, but any thoughts on the
short-term
Tesla
top, at least, I would think, on the Tesla, I don't know.
Yeah, any thoughts there on just on Tesla, kind of where they're going? I know they're, you know, they had the announcement on the new factory too.
Yeah, the Gigafactory in Austin. It's exciting. That's for your truck that you put a deposit on.
Right. Yeah. 2022. I'm holding my breath.
That's the delivery date.
Yeah, I think so. Sometime in 2022. They give yourself, they give themselves a wide swath
window.
Under promise, overperform. You know.
Exactly.
Let's see. And so then, you know, obviously that sell off plus the, you know, story, you know, with China. You know, wanting to close the Chengdu consulate. Hong Kong was down, you know, 2.2. China about 3.8. India actually even, you know, had barely positive. And I think, you know, kind of the caught in the middle, if you will, at least from a, you know, in terms of, you know, trading day and global times, you know, Europe was kind of, you know, Europe had some good economic data, which is surprising coming off of the, you know, the fact they just added the stimulus package. So
I saw the stimulus. Yeah, with a 750 billion euro, I think was the number.
Yeah, and so they, you know, the thing is they got the stimulus, but then also some of their, you know, economic numbers were, you know, fairly well. I think London retail sales were up. You know, the PMI, you know, was a good bit over consensus for France. You know, Germany, their PMI rebounded into expansion mode from, you know, it's like 55.5 versus a little over 50 was consensus. So, you know, in terms of news, it was great when you look at, you know, kind of, especially when you know, usually good news, right? In these types of situations are bad news because that means less stimulus. But, you know, the fact that they just had a stimulus package get approved and, you know, they've got some of this, you know, kind of forward-looking data, to me, I mean, it could, you know, could, they could actually have some, you know, some real growth you know, potentially.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, in an area that's been, you know, lacking just because they've been, you know, under uncertainty for a while with Brexit and, you know, just trying to European.
But they really did flatten the curve, except maybe Sweden, right? I mean, they really kind of tackled it head on. So
yeah, which
they're
is
kind
I
of
mean,
getting back open for business.
Yeah, I mean, you would think in your head it would, you know, it'd be harder to do, right? Because you're talking about countries, you have nationalism, you know, they all want to kind of represent themselves
right.
to a certain extent. But, you know, they have had somewhat of a coordinated response, at least closing from a border standpoint. So, yeah, you know, not something we have the ability to do here. But we'll, you know, we're just getting started. You know, Paul Carlson, Barry Kite here. Filling in for Bill. We'll be right back here shortly.
Welcome back.
Good morning. Barry Kite, Paul Carlson here. Giving Bill the morning off on the airways. Working on that newsletter hard. I know we're excited about AMD today.
It's something. Yeah, as much as Intel's down, AMD's almost up as much, right?
Yeah, might be a little
7-8%.
Yeah, might be able to get you a guess of what the best stock, you know, stock of the day.
Stock of the
day. Yep.
we'll skip ahead. Stock of the day.
Yeah, and it comes into some of the news we're looking at right here too. But you know, in terms of, let's look at some earning news that came out in some numbers. So. Surprisingly enough, Boston Beer beats earnings per share beats by $2.42 and beats on revenue.
Wow!
Yeah, it's quite a
best stock now.
Yeah, quite a beat. It was it beat analysts by $2.42, which was almost 100%. I think if you double it, we're getting to $4.84. So. Yeah, they basically beat it by over 100%. Their revenue is up 42% year over year, and they beat on revenue by about $30.7 million. So, you know,
I wonder if it's that the Truly, right? That's probably all profit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And when you get into the other thing is too, when you're getting into I guess with Wes.
Oh, they have Dogfish too. You know,
mm-hmm. Right. And with less people going out, and you know, you're going to sell, more of that bulk, right? To, to establishments, and so with people not going, going there as much, I guess maybe they're paying them more on their own. So,
stocking up at home.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of it's one of those things you see. Certainly, recession proof, and actually goes up in terms of recession. So.
Pandemic positive.
And I don't know if that's what they were counting on when you're looking back at the, where they were at, just in February before, before that took off. That chart, if you look at that chart, it's pretty amazing.
You know, even three months ago, we were ranking at 54 out of 5,286 stocks. We were ranking it there in the app. So
yeah, I mean, so 3 months gets you. Back to, at worst looks like, right around a price of, $4.50, and it's on the worst end. And we're at $6.59 now. So,
nice run.
Yeah. Quite a move for something that's been around for thousands of years. Let's see. So then, from a, valuation. Yeah, you're right. I mean, well, it's currently 27th in the app and 54, just 3 months ago. So,
no guarantees for the future, but that's what we've done so far. So,
Now, one of the other big stories we kind of keyed on was, Intel's dropped 9%. It's kind of a play off of really what's kind of driven AMD over the, you know, a good bit over the last year, year and a half is, you know, Intel's just had some delays. They had some product.
Production
issues. You know, and their competitive advantage basically is, you know, is dwindling and non-existent, at least at the moment, until they, you know, can go back and kind of fix their, you know, fix what they're doing. You know, not exactly the same as, you know, so, as a Boeing issue, for instance. You know, I don't think as many people's lives are going to be, you know, at risk. But still, I mean, you're creating a product and you're having to go back and redo it. All of that, you know, all of that product, you know, loss is going to be, you know, AMD's gain. So,
So AMD's up almost 8% in the pre-market.
Yeah, and they, you know, they had, I think they're down about 3 or 4% yesterday. That's just, you know, based on kind of what everything else was doing. But
they
popped back as soon as this news came out in the in the aftermarket. They popped back big, and you know, it's a big position for us here at Henderson Capital, and you know, we've written a number of articles about them, you know, and they keep to, you know, they continue to pay off. It's we joke around, you know, when we talk to, you know, parents with young kids want to do some investing. Kind of, you know, the boys, we, you know, tell them AMD sometimes is going to be, their chips are going to be in the new PlayStation and the new Xbox that are coming out here. I assume they're coming out before Christmas, but you know, who knows? They could be delayed, but that was the original plan.
Yeah, so I mean, we could talk about children too in terms of, you know, getting started early and investing. Should they buy the game, you know, or should they put a few shares in their account? You know, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, I kind of, you
As a parent, what do you think?
Well, you know, in two things, kind of as a planner too, it's, you know, you kind of want, you know, you want to use it as a teaching tool, right?
Yeah.
There's a certain dollar amount, right? We're maybe not want to teach with, you know, $100,000, but, you know, you can teach, you know, we're certainly nowadays with even, you know, smaller amounts, you know, that you have the ability to. We joke about Robinhood, but, you know, in certain instances, right, you know, you can, that's a, you know, a good way to kind of get your kid involved. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, it's more about, you know, what you're, you know, getting them involved, right? You know, even kind of ways even more sometimes than the return. And so, you know, pick something that they're interested in, and you know, whether it's GameStop, you know, Facebook, Snap, you know, any of there's a, you know, Apple, you know, Disney was the big one, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, but you know, Disney's not a best stock now, where the
right,
AMD is.
Exactly.
So if you could connect the best stock now to some product they use, like the, you know, the new game system that's coming out, right? And you know, well, you can play the game, but you also have, you know, the investment in what's inside of it, right?
Yep. And you could have Microsoft and AMD.
So
it's
a little diversification.
Yeah, unique. I mean, you know, and good news is, I mean, from a, you know, in terms of, you know, excitement, right? You know, all these are names that are usually, you know, pretty exciting, and frankly tend to be exciting to the parents as well. So you've got a, you usually get a happy medium there. And good news is, you know, a lot of these things, you know, have taken off. You know, Lululemon is a classic example of, you know, a stock that I know that, you know, some colleagues have purchased kind of for their kids over the years. So that's another kind of interesting, interesting play, just because, you know, his wife and two daughters were always, you know, it's like, what is this stuff you keep bringing home? Like, all right, let's invest in this one. So, and so, you know, Apple, obviously, you know, they had a rough day yesterday too. Some consumer protection, you know, probe. I mean, you know, some of this, I feel like, you know, you get these more and more and more, in terms of, you know, just the kind of almost just refer to it almost as the price of doing business nowadays. So, you know, some of these kind of antitrust investigations, you know, it's just an expense that they have to deal with, I think.
As they approach these market caps, I mean, the size of these corporations, you know, they're going to get scrutinized.
Yep, and, you know, you're starting to see the market getting a little more desensitized to that, too, over the, you know.
All right, we'll talk more about it in the second half. So.
Yep, sounds good. Yep, moving along. welcome back to the Best Stocks Now Radio. Barry Kite and Paul Carlson coming at you.
Second half.
Yes, I can't keep my eyes off of AMD today.
I know. I was just looking up 10%.
I know.
Wow.
Kind of wait till the last segment, last quarter, but man, things moving. It's moving. I think it's up like 11% right now. So
is it 11 now? Wow.
Yeah, it was basically
it was
six or seven all
ago.
Night. Yeah, it was six or seven all night, and then you know it bounced. You know, like I said, right at the after the open, it's up another four. So.
And Intel down 16%.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
ouch.
That's amazing. And, you know, we made the point in the article that, you know, I mean, you know, every, you know, a lot of people didn't believe AMD. It was like they were just benefiting from the, you know, from Intel misses. But, you know, the, I mean, the thing is when you're, you know, competitive
advantage. All the above.
Well, yeah, and if your competitive advantage is widening, you know, and, you know, basically Intel's behind the eight ball and, you know, has to be perfect for a bit.
Right.
And, you know.
And you look at, I was looking in the app, Best Stocks Now app, and, you know, the PEG ratio is still only one on AMD. So what a value, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the risk-return trade-off's crazy. I mean, their beta is, you know, sometimes a three, but their downside part of that beta is, you know, is not three. So it's a real risk-return kind of trade-off, but we'll keep teasing that one. Not very good for the last quarter. But yeah, news wise, I know you know we've got.
We talked about Apple and then what, Chipotle?
Yeah, that's the next one that's kind of big that you know kind of wanted to chat about. You know, and we've referenced it before, but you know, Chipotle is one of those. I mean, it's one of those. You know, they've dealt, I mean, as we all joke about, and, you know, to a certain extent in terms of what happened to them, but, you know, they've dealt with a pandemic in their own right before. So, you know, you think of, you know, some of the disasters that, you know, Jack in the Box had years ago, right, you know, with some folks that passed away eating their food, you know, and Chipotle had their issues as well, so. Give me a minute.
Anyway.
It'll come to me. Yeah, but it was, you know, essentially, you know, I mean, so they had to, you know, they took a huge financial hit. So, you know, when you take that kind of hit, you're going to, you know, you're going to make sure you put some things in place to,
annotation.
You know, make sure that doesn't happen again. So, you know, they were one of the ones I originally thought would, you know, bounce back the fastest. Also,
they really have.
They've had the best delivery network. I don't have the delivery numbers in front of me, but they were up about 41% on the year. Obviously, they missed some, you know, some same store year over year numbers, which is kind of why they've pulled back a bit. They were down about 5.3% yesterday. But you know, in terms of, you know, people who can navigate it from a restaurant standpoint,
right?
You know, they're. You know, they were kind of, you know, early on in the delivery mode.
And they, so delivery, they innovated with
mobile
the app
orders.
And pickups.
Yep.
And, yep. Yeah.
And, you know, frankly, you know, their food, just being in the industry and knowing the industry a bit, you know, their food holds up, you know, much better in a delivery setting, right, than, you know, you get a hamburger fries, right? Hamburger fries, even your, you know, in the heat we have here, even your drink, right, is going to be you know, ice will probably be melted by the time it gets
melted. Yeah.
Yeah. So their menus are their menus set up great from you know for that type of environment too. So,
right.
You know, so that's an interesting piece. On the debt front, I guess, you know, Main Street priced is $125 million issue. It's not a huge amount, probably a huge amount to them. You know, in terms of a debt deal, but. Yeah, it looks like the notes were priced 5.2. Yield to maturity is, you know, 4.42. I'm not sure where they're at on a from a rating standpoint. At 4.42 yield to maturity just kind of reads to me that there must be, you know, got to be some credit risk there, you would think.
Yeah, I'm sure it's below investment grade.
Yeah, and, you know, you almost kind of got to be right on the cusp nowadays just to. You know, to get, you know, to get any yield.
Any kind of yield.
Yeah. So that's where your you know, your credit, you know, credit selection is going to make a difference.
Well, look at it, you know, as a stock in the app. I mean, it's ranked 3,038 out of 5,286. So, not very good on that front. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, I think your whole philosophy in terms of, you know, using Best Stocks Now app in terms of, you know, finding and locating, you know, companies that you would actually want to own their bonds. Because, you know, if we're comfortable owning the, you know, the shares, right, then we should be comfortable owning the debt.
Just yeah, and we talk quite often about one of our names is Netflix, and it's just below investment grade, but it's been performing, you know, fantastic, just like the stock. So, yeah, that philosophy really works, I think.
Yep. I mean, I agree. Like I said, if you're okay with the common shares, you should be okay with the debt.
Exactly.
You're gonna be further up on the capital structure. But,
right.
You know, some other, you know, information, obviously, you know, your brick and mortar malls, they're still, having a, you know, a tough go at it. Looks like Simon is going to team up and, you know, basically try to own Brooks Brothers.
So the mall owners are going to become the mall retailers.
Right. So, yep.
What they're doing.
Yep. And, yeah. You know, I read some interesting stuff about this, and the reason why is if you lose a certain number of your anchor store, or if you lose a certain number of your anchor stores, then your smaller stores actually have the ability to break their lease no problem. And so if they can keep by bankrupt, you know, basically by purchasing these, you know, larger anchor retailers, they can actually,
right.
You know, keep the smaller
keep them in their contract.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Even if it's probably in everyone's best interest, right? Just to close the whole thing to begin with. But so it's gonna kind of drag that whole process out a bit, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. So
yeah, remember there's that ETF EMTY, right? Empty.
Yep, that's the inverse.
Yeah, it's going to benefit as malls close or storefronts. It's not doing much right now. Then maybe that's the reason, right? They're putting it off.
Yep, and you know, and that's why I think kind of the new, you know, the new non-correlated REITs, if you will, or you know, or your data centers, like you know, some of like CoreSite, some of those that we actually own. And have owned in the dividend and growth portfolio.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're, you know, they were going to house, you know, those data centers. There's only going to be a need for more of them, and you know, in the pandemic, obviously we need more cloud storage. So, you know, helps kind of make things a bit less correlated.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see, you've got some IPOs.
Nexium.
Yep. Are you familiar with any of these particular, Paul?
I am not. And that might raise a little concern as to a little frothiness in the market, you know, hearing all these IPOs that we've never heard of.
Yeah, and, you know, you keep referring to kind of pure plays on the vaccine and just kind of, you know, more integrated plays. You know, so, for instance, AstraZeneca being an integrated play because they, you know, their business is going to rely on other things besides a, you know, besides a cure, and then, you know, we've got obviously the Moderna angle, you know, a lot of their stock price obviously is based on, you know, getting a vaccine, even though, you know, the kind of RNA world they're in, you know, it's not going anywhere, but certainly where the stock is now is, you know, almost a pure play on, you know, on a vaccine.
So, yeah, so this is looks like a biotech, this first one.
Yeah, that's the
Nexium.
Yep.
Biosciences, yeah. And then there's Nurex. And they had to upsize their IPO because of strong demand, right?
Yeah, right. And then there's another Ideos Therapeutic. That's ITOS is the symbol. They're a you know, they're an oncology biotech. And a lot of these biotechs, you know, they're coming to IPO, but you know, some of them have actually starting to get purchased by, you know, even before this stage by Bristol Myers, AstraZeneca. You know, they're essentially purchasing their own pipeline, and if they can get a, you know, a drug that they know is going to be successful, you know, they can leverage it across their whole sales pipeline.
They have the distribution, marketing,
right.
Yeah.
And so it works. You know, it works out whether they do. You know, sometimes they'll do like a royalty thing. Sometimes they buy them outright, but it's you know, I think it's a good combination. I think it's a good thing for the biotech too, just because you're not, you know, you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. All right, well, moving along quickly here, we'll go ahead and get to our last segment, and we'll get to we'll finally get to AMD officially.
Stay with us for the quarter. Knock of the day.
Yep, have a great one. Welcome back to the last segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio for this week. Looking forward to getting that newsletter out to you on Saturday. For those of you who aren't receiving it, you can reach us. You can give us a ring at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. Or also easiest way to sign up is at our website, and that's GundersonCapital.com. I look forward to getting that out to you. Paul, you still joining us?
Yep, I'm here.
All right.
Ready to go.
Sounds great. Well, I want to get a couple other quick news items in just before we dive into our excitement with AMD.
The Walmart, right? The clinics? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Do you have that one in front of you? It's the
I do.
Where they turn up the health. Yep.
Yeah, they're turning up the health moves with plans for 6 more clinics in Atlanta. It says by the end of this year, it makes for a quick tripling of its current clinics as strategy to become a healthcare player takes shape, said CNBC.
It's kind of what they did with banking. I mean, the thing is, I don't know if they still do, but at one point in time, I've always heard that Walmart was the biggest seller of diamonds in the world. And so, you've got plenty of store. I mean, to me, you can always lose aisles, and add other things. I mean, at the front, you had haircut places, banks, and now, healthcare clinic to me is, kind of a no-brainer for them. So looks like
mm-hmm,
they're
doing
that. Although I will say my mom's still waiting for CVS. She had didn't have any symptoms, but, she had some COVID tests in CVS, in South Florida. And I think it's been, I want to say we're at 2 weeks. 2 weeks and
she waited 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. Her and my sister had it. Well, her and my sister had it the same day. I think my sister got hers back, 2 or 3 days later. My mom hasn't heard back yet. So it's been about two weeks. So
gonna
she had it, it's over. Yeah. So
yeah.
good news is she didn't have any symptoms either, but she just went because the rest, some other of us did. But so let's just go ahead and jump into AMD. So Paul, if you want to give them the numbers and tell them where we're at, it's hovering, a little bit over 10% so far today.
Yeah, well, it's up over 10.5%, $6.30, 65.56. And we were looking at the app and the rankings. We had it at 88 out of 52.86 coming in today. But even as far back as a year ago, it was ranked number 12. So it's been a good one for us for a long time.
Yeah.
And, we rank it a strong buy. And like I was saying earlier, the PEG ratio, which is price earnings growth, is one, which is good.
Pretty
solid. one or lower is better. I mean, it's acceptable for a buy, right?
Yeah. And with a 5-year monthly beta of 2.13. So that tells your growth of your
stocks.
Yeah,
2.13.
Yeah, your more beta heavy stock should be, that you should be above one, frankly, a lot of times.
You would think, right? So there's still potential even from here, but no guarantee going forward, but that's you know what we see in the data. So
right, and looks like they're pretty significantly all-time high, hitting all-time high numbers today for them. But we went back. I was kind of looking at it last night, knowing how they're reacting, and kind of looked back in an article that frankly, Bill and I helped him with, that it's frankly, we couldn't have had worse timing. I think we came out on February 25th of 2020, so it's been out 150 days. I was looking at the kind of what the S&P has done versus what AMD has done during that period, and the S&P is up 2.85%. Obviously, we know what happened since February 25th in the markets, and AMD is up 39.08%, so up 39%.
It's a stock picker's market. It's a market of stocks, not a stock market. So that's why you need an active advisor, right? I mean, that's what we do. And that's why you hire us. So
And you don't get them all right, but from a risk return, from a risk return trade off, right? I mean, you're looking at, even if it's twice as twice as risky as the market, right? And I'd argue that it's twice as risky on the upside, which is which is all the risk that we want, right? That's the standard deviation we want, is on the right side of the distribution. But you're looking at 39%. I mean, that's probably 33% of alpha right there, based on.
As we're doing too at the same time, we're hedging by having an inverse to the Dow, which is a lot of the soggy stocks, the old companies that aren't growing. So that's a hedge if the whole market starts to, turn down, right? In the meanwhile, we have these alpha generators on the upside.
So, you're able, and that's kind of, that's where you're, kind of the market has certainly came to us too, because you're, you've got, like you said, stock picking matters, and, in research matters versus, just being able to, and going to an index and going endpoint to endpoint, right? It's a great thing to do. It works, but, you got to be able to stomach that 35%, drop in the middle in less than a month. And
if you're passive, but we're active. So we try to protect. Yeah,
exactly. And so, the market we're in now, certainly stock picking matters, and having the ability to hold cash and
unconstrained ability to hedge. Yeah. Go anywhere. Exactly.
Yeah. So
it's a great formula that Bill and the team have developed. So we're excited.
I think so. And looking back at the, I was looking back at the article. I think the, first 2 points here is, AMD continues to capitalize on the competitive advantages currently benefiting the desktop and semi-custom segments. And then the second piece is, a feasible case can be formed around the belief that a material portion of the competitive today's competitive advantages will continue, and that's because of Intel's missteps. So,
give us a call, 855-611-BEST, or go to our website, GundersonCapital.com.
Yep.
Have a good day, everybody.
Happy to talk with you. Have a good one.
Yep. Sure
would.
Take
care.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.